On today's edition of the Locked On Nets podcast, Josh and I discuss the Bradley Beal trade rumor to the Nets, what the team would have to give up, how Beal would fit, all that and more coming up on Locked On Nets.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome into another edition of the Locked On Nets podcast. Here with you on a Wednesday evening in late May, Marcus Barahal joining me as always. I'm trying this new thing where I set the scene a little bit. What do you think of it?
It was good. I feel like it's like a radio show where they say like what the weather is and whatnot, but I guess the podcast you can kind of listen whenever, so that wouldn't apply.
But if you're listening at the exact time that we're recording this, which it is mid to high 60s in New York City and pretty nice out, I must say so myself. Marcus, how are you doing? Haven't seen you in a few months at this point, only virtually, which is it's pretty weird.
Yeah, I'm good. Had the windows open all day today, which is good. Like you said, great weather. And yeah. I'm trying to remember the last time I even saw you in person. I do not recall, though. Maybe when we got dinner with our friend Matt?
Yeah, that might be it, because I remember I had just gotten back from a flight, basically came back, dropped my stuff off my apartment, and then met you guys. Let me find the exact date of that. It was May 3rd.
March 3rd.
March 3rd.
Yeah, that's probably it. I mean, I haven't gone out really like to socialize since like March, like the week of March 10th, 11th, that range. So probably that's a long time, almost 3 months.
Yeah, closing in on 3 months. That's it's impressive. Also, I don't know if you have the same thing, but I basically like feels like quarantine's been a year. I don't remember anything prior to that in terms of like specific plans that I did or like evenings out and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I remember like the couple days right before, but not really much beyond that. And then also like I feel like I've like nothing has happened like during quarantine. Like if you asked me like what I did like 2 weeks ago, I would have no clue because it's kind of all the same.
Yeah, you zoomed a lot.
Yeah.
played Jackbox.
Yeah, did some Quiplash with our good pal Gavin.
Yep. And that's really been it. But exciting news on the horizon. We're going to talk about the potential return of the NBA kind of in the coming months or so and the plans there. And also the Nets' quest for a third star. Marcus is going to be throwing some scenarios out at me from Bradley Beal, who's been heavily rumored to be a potential target of the Nets and all the pros and cons that come with that. Marcus, let's get that started. Bradley Beal, what do you got for me?
Yeah, so this was a few days ago now. Stephon Bondi from the Daily News had a whole report that the Nets were internally discussing ways to acquire Bradley Beal from the Wizards. Obviously, a trade can't happen until either the season is canceled or it is resumed and then finishes, like until the offseason, basically. So nothing super imminent, especially if like we're going to talk about the proposed season winds up going into like August and September, and then the off season probably wouldn't be until October. So definitely a little bit of a ways out. But this report surfaced. I scrolled through Bradley Beal's likes on Twitter, trying to do a little detective work, see if there was any hidden agenda I could uncode. There was not. He covered his tracks at least. So no inclinations or signs from him that this is like something that he asked for. In fact, quite the opposite. He said, "I hate change. If it happens, it happens. I'm loyal to a fault." His agent, Mark Bartlestein, that's a mouthful, says that he, meaning Beal, wants to be in Washington. That being said, for the Nets to like assemble a package has kind of been what we've sort of talked about in the past, not about Beal specifically, but just kind of like who the Nets could trade. It would probably be Caris LeVert and then either Dinwiddie or Jared Allen, plus probably two first-round picks, it sounds like. And if it is LeVert and Jared Allen, which I think makes the most sense just fit-wise, like if you're going to play DeAndre Jordan as much as it seems like the Nets want to, with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, his friends on the team. And you have Nick Claxton, who is cheap and is has, in my mind at least, shown flashes of being a guy you can throw out there for 20 minutes or so a game. I think it makes sense to do LeVert and Allen and a couple picks, bring Dinwiddie off the bench. You'd still need another couple million just to match the salaries, but that can be like Musa and Pinson or Garrett Temple or something like that. So it wouldn't really affect the rotation, especially with the Nets getting those two superstars back. And I think, I mean, the fit would be obviously tremendous on offense. Like, Beal has played off ball a ton with John Wall, and he's shown that he can, in the last couple of years, put up big numbers if he's on the ball. Defensively, it's not the best backcourt, but if you've got Kevin Durant kind of protecting you, and if you, I don't know, DeAndre Jordan's not what he used to be, but if you have him inside maybe as a shot blocker, maybe that helps a little bit. But I just think that the fit on offense would be so good that, like, if this deal was on the table, you have to do it. That being said, it sounds like it's not imminent, especially because Washington seems kind of like they don't really want to make a move and want to see what Beal and Wall look like together once Wall is eventually back from his own Achilles tear. Something I want to see is all of the new flavors of Built Bars. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. They've got 16 amazing flavors. 8 are chocolate and nut combinations, and 8 of them are nut-free options. The bars are covered in 100% chocolate, and they're surprisingly soft and easy to chew. Built Bar is great for the health-conscious guy, and they can help you lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. They're low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber goodness. I mentioned they've got some new flavors, 4 of them, in fact. We're talking peanut butter banana, pineapple upside-down cake, coconut pecan pie, and blueberry lemon. Don't know where to start there, but they all sound phenomenal. If you go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get $10 off your first order. That's promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. What do you think about Beal's fit, Josh, and also, like, how realistic this trade scenario would be?
Yeah, I mean, so I love Bradley Beal. I think, first of all, he's a phenomenal offensive player, someone who's very well-rounded in terms of getting his own shot, being able to, relatively underratedly, I'd say, get to the basket, obviously get his mid-ranger whenever he wants, can hit threes, kind of both off the catch and off the dribble, and then really, I think over the years, he's kind of rounded out his game more so as a distributor, being a lead ball handler, kind of in that pseudo James Harden role. Defensively, it's going to cause a ton of problems. Both Kyrie and Beal, you know, undersized for their positions, and then don't really have the chops to be kind of a defensive stalwart. So I am worried about that. I think the three-star thing always works a little bit better when you have someone who's a little bit more low usage as that third star. And you look at Beal's usage, it's creeping up every year. Guy that had 23 shots a game this year. I can't believe I'm even saying that out loud. And then is he going to want to kind of be third banana, or at best really co-second banana with Kyrie? I think it's on paper it looks good just because you have so much firepower, but I think it really hurts the Nets' depth, which they didn't really have much of to begin with. So I'm just confused on how this would work. And then from Washington's standpoint, you made a great point on they're probably going to want to see Beal and John Wall together just because, you know, they want to see what they have in John Wall. You know, is it something where he's a lost cause, they have to rebuild, or he's kind of close to what he once was, and it makes sense to, when you do trade Beal, if you are going to do that, look for pieces that are a bit more win now as opposed to more so kind of throwing, getting some lottery balls, that type of thing. So until Wall comes back and is able to play a little bit, that package that you outlined for the Nets to give to Washington, I'm not even sure how appealing that would be, really. It's kind of just an amalgamation of pretty good pieces, but obviously, you know, you never want to guarantee that these picks are really going to be kind of late in the first round, because Nets fans know better than anyone else that that's not always the case, as KG and Pierce trade shows. But generally, you're going to think that, hey, it's probably going to be picks kind of in 20s and below. That plus Jared Allen, when you have a decent center right now in Thomas Bryant, I think Allen's a better overall prospect with him, given his defensive work. But you do have someone who's a decent building block at center right now. And then LeVert, or Dinwiddie, is that really going to be enough to tempt the Wizards? I think it's not a perfect fit on either side, so I'm just questioning if this is really going to be something that happens, or if it's Nets fans just saying, hey, you know, we're clamoring for a third star. Anyone that even gets connected with the Nets, let's just throw out any trade possibility out there.
Yeah, the point you made about the appeal to Washington, I think, is a good one. Because, like LeVert is obviously the centerpiece of that trade and kind of any trade that the Nets make with the intention of getting a star back. And, I don't know, we've talked a lot about his potential, and I think he definitely still has a lot of room to grow. I think he could be an all-star, especially if he stays in the Eastern Conference. But, like, I was tempted to be like, oh...
deal is the thing.
I was going to say, like, I'm tempted to say, like, oh, like, he's so young, like, he has so much upside. He's only a year younger than Bradley Beal, despite being drafted 4 years later, and also despite Beal obviously ascending to heights that LeVert is, like, can only dream of reaching. So it's really, like, the only, like, upside for Washington would, I guess, be, like, the contract point of it, and that LeVert is, like, a cheaper option. But that doesn't really seem like it's enough if you're going to give up the best guy on your roster right now, and other than John Wall, like the best guy you've had on your franchise in the last decade. So,
yeah.
To me, like, I don't know, the LeVert Jared Allen package, like sending those two out to bring in a guy who's like more qualified and more like has sort of proven it as the third guy, I think sort of does make sense if you think that KD is coming back and is going to be like close to his peak, and Kyrie as well, the same thing, but. I don't know. I don't think you can get a guy of Beal's level for that, for those two guys. One thing you can get for practically nothing is Blinkist. It is one of the ultimate life hacks. You know, even with nowhere to go, I've kind of found myself just as busy as I was before all this started, and it's hard to find the time to sit down to read and learn more. There's an incredible app that makes this a lot easier. It's called Blinkist. Blinkist works on your phone, tablet, or web browser and uniquely gives you the key takeaways and need-to-know information in just 15 minutes that you can read or listen to. Blinkist has thousands of nonfiction books and 12 million users, so there's no better time to jump in than right now. With Blinkist, you get unlimited access to read or listen to that massive library of nonfiction books, all for one low price. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/NBA to try it free for 7 days and get 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/NBA to start your free 7-day trial and get 25% off your new subscription.
Yeah, especially because you're going to have to extend Allen also, because he's going to be a restricted free agent after next season. And it's still going to be pretty wonky given how COVID has affected kind of all that stuff, but he'll be a free agent kind of in the summer of 2021. And he's going to command a reasonable contract where, you know, he's probably going to be worth it. But at the same time, if you're a team that's really going nowhere with Washington, like they fit the bill perfectly in that, in terms of like Charlotte in recent years, those types of teams, if it's Wall, LeVert, and Jarrett Allen, do you really want to spend money on that type of guy? So it's they're kind of caught in no man's land and don't really have the full information on their side. And I think we can both agree that Beal might not be the perfect fit. I'd rather go for a guy like Aaron Gordon, who I know is constantly talked about in Nets land, and we're sick of hearing of him. But he's not a perfect player by any means. He's definitely a flawed one, but you can get him for a lot cheaper, and he has kind of room to grow, I think. And might be slightly undervalued and could really do some damage in the Nets system as kind of that third or fourth banana.
Yeah, and I think, like, obviously Beal's a better player, but in terms of what the Nets need, like, they have plenty of scoring with KD and Kyrie, and even with, like, Joe Harris, like, they don't really need the skills that Beal would bring to the table. It would kind of just be doubling down on what they already have. Like, they need defense, they need rebounding, and, yeah, I think a guy like Aaron Gordon would make a lot of sense. And just thinking more about, like, Jared Allen, you mentioned him needing to get paid soon. Like, I definitely think that they should trade him like as soon as they can, because like I don't think he's going to be good enough to justify like paying him probably what he could get. Like, I think like paying centers in the modern NBA kind of doesn't make a lot of sense. We saw what happened with Houston and Clint Capella, where he's good, he's really good, but it's just like it doesn't make sense mathematically, and you'd rather spend that money somewhere else. Like, if the Nets can draft a guy like Nick Claxton as late as they did, who can give you like almost as good production as Jared Allen for like on a rookie deal, or you could always like sign a guy off the scrap heap, like the Nets had Ed Davis last season. Like, I feel like you can always find a cheap center, and it just doesn't, it wouldn't make sense for me. Like, they're already so capped out because of these big guys that they have. Like, they're going to have to go into use Joe Harris's bird rights to re-sign him, presumably. And so they don't have a ton of avenues. And I think that trading Jared Allen while he's still on this cheap contract and still has some sort of name value around the league, I think makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, exactly. He's, you know, he's the big block guy.
Big afro.
Exactly. Exactly. I think that makes sense. I mean, it's tough right now because everyone's looking for that third kind of complementary star type who fits in seamlessly with your other two stars, isn't going to ask for the ball a lot, and just kind of is the glue guy. It's really hard to find that Chris Bosh type that, you know, Draymond, Klay Thompson, depending on who you think was the second or third guy in those early iteration Golden State teams, everyone's clamoring for that guy, and it's so tough to find that fit, and I don't think the Nets assets are as compelling as we might think they are. And also, you know, there's so much competition to find it. You know, the Nets can definitely get priced out on that front. So we'll see. I think Beal is kind of better suited to being a main guy or a number two with someone who's a bit more well-rounded than really a number three on this Nets team with so much uncertainty elsewhere. I don't know. But we'll see. We'll see. The Nets could definitely make the offer. They're definitely kind of going for a talent over everything mindset more recently than they had been at the start. And, you know, Washington could certainly bite because they haven't been the pinnacle of ownership over these last decade plus.
Yeah, for sure. And like, just as we're talking this out, I think that if I were in Sean Marks' position, I would just try to trade just Jared Allen for like a wing, like a 3-and-D type, and just give Claxton more minutes and then have a little bit more depth and keep LeVert, keep Dinwiddie as kind of like your second and third guards to kind of back up Kyrie. And as Nets fans have seen the last few years, like, nothing's guaranteed with all the bad injury luck they've had also.
Yep. Definitely agree on that front. I mean, injuries, we all know they are the thing you can't account for in this league. And the Nets are certainly seem to be one of the teams that are more snake bit than others when it comes to it.
Yeah, definitely.
So that's going to do it for this edition of the Locked On Nets podcast. You can follow us at Locked On Nets. Josh is at JMBass_. I'm at Marcus Barahal. We'll be back tomorrow to talk about some more league news and Nets news. So stay tuned for that. And until then, be well. Bye.